Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.
But I'm joined in studio by Off the Ball reporter Niall McGrath, because Niall, it's a big story. You tell me it's a big story, but then I look in the Irish Times, I find myself going from page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and eventually I get to page 7. I look all the way down to the bottom right-hand corner and I find 100 words which say Conor McGregor will return to the UFC octagon in the first time in almost 2 years in October. So you tell me this is a big deal, but not everybody agrees.
It's a huge deal, Nathan. It was the talk of the town last night. If you went online, the minute that fight was announced, every outlet had it out in the world. Twitter was going into overdrive last night. I still think there's a stigma here amongst the mainstream media to really cover the sport, get behind it. Obviously, the incident with Conor McGregor didn't help back in Brooklyn, but I think it's about time we need to start getting behind it now, because it's giving other athletes the opportunity. Everyone isn't along the lines of Mr. McGregor, and I think it's something that, going forward, the hype of this fight's going to be sensational. And as I said to you, I think last week, I expect this to break UFC pay-per-view records
in
the US.
So talk us through the numbers, the dates, when it's going to happen, where it's going to happen, and how much money it is going to make.
Yeah, the records gate for the UFC is $17.7 million, which was Conor McGregor, Eddie Alvarez back at UFC 205.
McGregor's last UFC
fight. I think it's coming up to, 20-odd months ago now, longer even. So it's expected to break that. I think it will break that. As we said, I think last week, Khabib and Conor, they're both guys that like trash talking, and I think that's going to be a big element, obviously, in selling the fight even further than it's going to sell. It's the hardest fight Conor could have also have taken, so I think we need to give him kudos on that. We can talk about that in a second. It's going to be October 6th, T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas, Nevada. Obviously, owned by a large percentage of that arena is owned by MGM, which is obviously a big partner of the UFCs in Las Vegas. So it's a massive venue, it's a massive stage. The eyes of the world are on this. Maybe not, as I said, a lot of the mainstream outlets in Ireland, but I think over the next coming weeks, you'll see that go further on the spotlight. I think the UFC are going to do some promotional things as well. Maybe not in Dublin this time, because there's not as long maybe as we would have liked for a build-up, but listen, I'm telling you, this is going to be a crazy, crazy event in October.
So the last time we saw Conor McGregor involved with the UFC was almost 2 years ago at this stage. It was the Eddie Alvarez fight. He was on top of the world at that stage. He was a title holder. Since then, we've had the Floyd Mayweather, whatever you want to call it, fight, charade, whatever it was. And we've had a whole lot of stuff going on outside the ring, somewhat controversial, probably coming to a head with the incident in New York a few months ago. He's lost his titles. Where is he? What's your level of expectation?
Very high, I think, in terms of what fight he could have come back to. Because let's be honest, Conor has the power. He's the guy that sells pay-per-views for the UFC. The UFC need him back. Their TV ratings were the worst they've ever had last week in the United States for a Fox show. With the new TV deal coming up, it's very, very important that the UFC gets back in there. But expectations as far as Conor is concerned, I think, as we mentioned, in terms of a fight, this is the toughest fight he could have come back to. And I think, it goes a long way, especially as we said last week, for people in the sport respecting Conor, and maybe the fact he didn't defend any of his titles was an element where people were going, this guy, come on, you have to come back and defend a title. And I think, kudos to Conor McGregor for coming back, taking this fight, because this is a guy who's 26-0 in his professional career in Khabib Nurmagomedov. So it's a phenomenally tough fight. But listen, I'm not sure where Conor is at the moment. He has been back training the last number of months. And I think you have to figure in as well, in terms of cardio, was a problem for Conor. The Floyd Mayweather fight would have been a great learner for him, because boxing is obviously you're just using your hands, and it's very maybe explosive sort of cardio.
Because he's been around town over the last year, 18 months. He's partied, he's enjoyed himself. But he didn't turn into Ricky Hatton. This wasn't a case of him putting on 3-4 stone, because it is only 2 months away from this fight. He has kept himself in pretty good shape, and the pictures we've seen on Instagram over the past week where he was sparring a few of the Irish lads.
Peter Queeley, teammate of his up in SBG. He looks in fantastic nick, and I think that's when Conor's mind is also at his best, when he's in the gym. He's getting amongst Artem Lobov, his other training partner. There's so many high-quality guys down there in that gym. And I think the fact he has been training, it's a way of life down there, and John Kavanagh will often say that. So I think Conor is going to be in good shape ahead of this fight. I think he's obviously known about it for the last number of weeks that something was going to happen. To be honest, Shane, I think a deal, as far as I know, a deal was only cut literally at 4 p.m. Local time in Los Angeles yesterday, so half an hour before they came on. So Dana White sort of surprised everyone at the end of the press conference. Right. So it was very, very late the deal was cut. But you're going to see Conor, you know, I'd imagine, straight into camp if he's not ready already in camp.
So Habib, you say, is the toughest possible challenge he 100%. Could face coming back. Why?
Because if you look at Habib's last number of fights, you know, obviously he's been in the UFC, I think it's 7, 8, 9, 10 fights, possibly 26 and no one in the UFC has been able to deal with not being taken to the deck by Habib Nurmagomedov. Once he gets you on the ground, he makes it a long night for you. But saying that, we saw his last fight against Ally Aquinta. He's susceptible on the feet. Conor McGregor is obviously, you know, some brilliant leg kicks. That left hand is very, very hard. He's got caught in his last couple of fights. Michael Johnson, as I said, Ally Aquinta. There was areas, there was holes in which you can get at Habib. And I think a lot of fighters have taken confidence from that. But it's about controlling Habib's game plan. How you get about him and neutralise that takedown. And I'm not so sure anyone's really come up with solid answers yet.
All right, that's what I was wondering. So if we assume that McGregor is somewhere near the level he was at 2 years ago, and if he's not, he'll probably end up losing. But if he is, has Habib come up near anybody of that quality? Anywhere near that quality?
In terms of striking, no. And that's the area I got quite excited, you know, for Conor McGregor looking at the last fight because of the areas we saw. Guys who wouldn't be as good as strikers as Conor McGregor catch him. Ally Aquinta, Michael Johnson. Conor's a far superior striker than both those guys. And I think that's the real area where we could get very excited for this fight for Conor McGregor. But listen, Habib is unbeaten. And it's going to be a tough ask. Habib's gone in as favourite in all the European bookmakers as well, which I find interesting. But I expect that to change closer to the fight, but it's a fascinating element.
Is this a title fight?
World lightweight title fight, yes.
Okay, so he can win it back.
Yeah, that's the promotion again side as well. Conor's going to want to back, you know, the UFC are going to play this. Conor McGregor, a fighter who's never lost his title in a fight. He was stripped of inactivity. So, you know, Conor's going to come in. I'm sure his brashness is going to say, he's going to tell the world that, you know, he never lost the belt and Habib has it by default. That's the kind of promotion I think we're looking ahead to this fight, but it's going to be phenomenal.
I saw Nate Diaz was very angry last night. What was wrong with him?
Yeah, no, interesting. He put a few he put up a few derogatory tweets towards the UFC. He was scheduled for a co-main event on their New York card against Dustin Poirier. He was fighting last weekend, both obviously former opponents of Conor McGregor. And you know, I can only speculate here. Nate hasn't come out and given a proper reason to why he said he's not fighting on this fight against Dustin Poirier after it was announced last night. And I presume that he was maybe promised he was going to be co-main for Conor McGregor and Habib in New York. So
Conor McGregor don't do no co-main. He doesn't need a co-main.
In terms of that, I think Nate understands that Conor, you know, sells so many pay-per-views, and to be a part of a pay-per-view with Conor McGregor headlining, you're getting a lot of money, and I think Nate's pretty irritated maybe about that.
So what weight are they going at, McGregor and Habib?
155 pounds.
Is that comfortable for McGregor?
That is Conor's optimum weight class. Bang on, he'll have no problems making the weight. That's the interesting thing, you know, it may be an issue for Habib. He missed weight in a prior fight, was hospitalised against Tony Ferguson. That fight was supposed to happen, obviously, back in Brooklyn, and I think that fight fell out 3 or 4 times, but that was an issue for Habib. So maybe that's something to watch. A lot of people said he did make weight a lot easier the last time, but I still was a little bit concerned, you know, seeing Habib on fight week last time out. I don't think it's as comfortable for Habib as maybe he lets on, but for Conor McGregor, that would be absolutely no problem.
All right, the hype machine is going to go into overdrive then over the coming weeks. Dana White has been talking. I think we can possibly hear from Dana White, who was announcing the fight late last night. I'm not sure if that is possibly there. I don't think we have it.
But basically,
right now, no, we don't have it right now. What was he saying?
Dana White was just basically saying that
this is going to be the greatest thing anyone has ever seen, and you should spend your money on it.
Exactly, the usual sort of thing from Dana White. You know, it's happening. You know, the wait is over. That's sort of the line the UFC are taking, and I think it is very much that case because it's a fight I think a lot of people, especially in the world of mixed martial arts, have been talking about for some time. The possibility of this fight happening.
Let's hear it.
Two straight killers coming out of the gates that are dying to face each other. And it's what makes Khabib so popular and incredible. He's undefeated. And it's what makes Conor an international superstar. Conor McGregor lays off 2 years, comes straight out the gate and wants to go right after Khabib. You know, they got the bad blood and all the stuff that went down in New York. It's awesome.
Did it require ever getting in the same room? Because I know you guys had scheduled that a couple of times. Did it ever happen?
We never got together. We never got in the same room. It wasn't necessary. We ended up getting the deal done.
Dana, the last time Conor was at a UFC event, I think everybody remembers what happened, so we don't got to bring that back up. However, is that a concern at all when you have these two guys?
No, I think that, you know, Conor came out and did what he did and didn't expect the results that happened. You know, I'm pretty sure he's on probation right now in New York. I think that we're not going to have any problems with these guys. You know, we're going to have a great fight.
Fight is only 8 weeks away. How do you go about promoting it? Is it promoted? Does it just do itself? Or do you guys have something like a world tour plan?
We're not planning a world tour, but we will do some fun stuff for the media and the fans. And yeah, this is an easy fight to promote, but we'll put in the work.
Between here and now, there are going to be a lot of people like myself writing columns about what does this fight mean to Conor McGregor. What do you think is at stake for him? I mean, he just a meteoric rise, but then he leaves the sport for 2 years. He had the boxing match, and we all know why that happened. And he made a whole lot of money from it. Is this a crossroads fight? What is at stake for Conor, do you think?
No, I wouldn't say that this is a crossroads fight. This is a very important fight for both fighters. You know, for Khabib, who's undefeated and looked at as one of the best in the world, you know, beating Conor is massive for him, and obviously for Conor, coming back from a 2-year layoff. In my opinion, and it's crazy to say this because of how popular he is around the world, but he's one of the most underrated fighters in the UFC. Everybody thinks because he speaks so well and gets so crazy and everything, it makes him sort of less of a fighter. It's the weirdest thing I've ever seen. When you talk about pound for pound best in the world, this is a guy who's actually living proof of pound for pound. He jumps from weight class to weight class and fights people in different weight classes. He went out and boxed Floyd Mayweather, and he is literally willing to fight anybody in the world who thinks they're better than him. You know, it's what makes him so popular. This isn't a crossroads fight. This is another fight to cement his legacy as one of the best to ever do it.
Dana White there talking last night at the announcement of this fight. Two straight killers, he said. And also that Conor McGregor, one of the most underestimated fighters in the history of the UFC.
No. To a certain extent. Yeah, like you have to give him a lot of credit for the guys he has beaten in his career. And there's certain guys I probably would have liked to see him fight maybe at featherweight. A lot more fights, I think, to make if he wins this fight in the lightweight division. He's obviously only fought, you know, once in the lightweight division against Eddie Alvarez in that fight. So for me, in this division especially, it's killer's row, top 1 to 15. Anyone can win the world title in this division. I think there's so many guys there that I think it's going to take 3 or 4 more fights for me to think along the lines like that.
All right.
But definitely in terms of featherweight, definitely.
I was going to ask that actually it feels as though that we're still talking about the same names from 3-4 years ago, that actually there hasn't been an emergence of too many new guys since McGregor first burst on the scene, with the exception of Khabib.
I think a lot of the guys, you know, in terms of Max Holloway, Max was a very young guy when he fought Conor. Like, Max is only 24, 25, that sort of age now. So there's been a lot of young fighters sort of coming up at the same time as Conor McGregor, and he's stuck out from a lot of them. But yeah, in terms of emergence of real pay-per-view sellers, to a certain extent we are talking about the same guy, but I think that's maybe the UFC's fault as well. A lot of the time they don't put the promotional stock behind certain fighters I'd like to see them really get behind. They tend to focus on one or two, you know, Ronda Rousey, Conor McGregor, Brock Lesnar, and maybe leave other guys and their stories and their backgrounds in areas which they could sell them to a mainstream audience. They leave it untapped, and I think it's something they could really improve on.
A lot of texts coming in, all this talk of Khabib being a killer, but who has he actually fought? Conor has a way better resume, says Darren and Santry.
He's fought some, listen, a lot of very good fighters. You know, he's gone through everyone really in the UFC so far, and I think he's been unfortunate, obviously, with the Tony Ferguson fights. They've fallen out. I think a lot of people would have liked to see that fight. But listen, you cannot question the way Khabib fights. This is a guy, he was wrestling bears, literally, when he was 7-8 years of age. He's a very, very
tough
test.
Have you a video of that?
There is a video online of that, yeah.
Is there?
Yes, 100%.
When he was 7 or 8?
When he was 7 or 8.
He was fighting a bear.
Fighting a bear in Dagestan.
What do you mean, explain this to me, by fighting a bear?
Wrestling a bear.
Like, was he playing with the bear like you would play with a nice fluffy dog?
The bear was on top of him and he was grappling with the bear.
But was the bear trying to do damage to him, or was the bear just playing?
Well, a bear, I don't really play, do they?
That's what I'm wondering. Surely if the bear wanted to do some damage to the 7 or 8-year-old, he could have.
I'm sure he could have, yeah, but maybe he could have done damage to the bear as well. He's that kind of fighter, you know, once he gets on top of you, you're in trouble with Khabib.
And the bear didn't know that. That was the problem. He outsmarted the bear.
How do you outsmart a bear?
That's what makes him so lethal, clearly.
Well, there you go, that's it. But I think in terms of that aspect of the fight, there's a lot, you know, Conor needs to do in terms of his takedown defense. And I think we did, in fairness to Conor, we did see that a lot against Nate Diaz, especially in the second fight. He was excellent in that element. So I just think Khabib's a different ball game. But kudos to Conor for coming back and having this fight as his first fight back in 2 years. Hats off to Conor, honestly.
Yeah, the text in on that, Neil and Bray. Lads, the beauty is that for Khabib to take Conor down, he has to be close enough to get hit. That's Khabib has never been in the pressure cooker that he will be with Conor. Unreal human chess game ahead.
That's it. I spoke to Darren Till about this a couple of weeks ago when we had him on for an interview. And Darren said the exact same thing. It's very, very dangerous, especially when a fighter like Khabib is shooting in. He has to be very wary of knees, uppercuts. You know, Conor has a diverse repertoire of skills, great knees, great leg kicks, and that uppercut of that left hand as well is phenomenal. So it's just such a fascinating matchup, Nathan. It is generally your classic grappler versus striker contest here, and it's one I'm so excited about. I've said this to you for the last number of weeks, and I think we're in for a real treat, I do. I don't think it's gone the distance, though. I'm even going to say that now. I think someone is getting finished in this fight.
Who?
My early money, I think, has to be on Khabib, but that could change very much in the next number of weeks. But listen, you never know. It's going to be exciting. Write Conor McGregor off at your peril. I said a few weeks ago, and I wouldn't write him off again.
Finally, tonight, Danny and Scorthy wondering, who do you think will win between TJ and Cody?
I think we're going to see, you know, I've been going back and forth all week, but I think if Cody can cut out one or two of the little errors in his technical stand-up, which you saw in that second round against Dillashaw, it's his night. That performance against Dominic Cruz was a technical masterclass. It's just about eliminating one or two errors. He hurt TJ in the first round in that fight, and if he can get rid of those errors, I see him retaking his world bantamweight title tonight. That's a phenomenal fight. I'd recommend anyone who's a passing interest in the sport to tune in and watch it tonight, because that's actually one of the best fights you'll see all year.
I need to further educate myself in this, because when I saw who'll win tonight between TJ and Cody, I thought there was some sort of breakdown in the Kilkenny hurling ranks that I didn't know about. But clearly not. Niall, great stuff, as always. You got to send me this video of Khabib and the bear. I'm fascinated.
Go on to my office. It's very good.
See how he psychologically broke down the bear.
Yeah.
It's going to be fascinating.
It is. I can see your excitement in your eyes there.
All right, great stuff. We're going to take a break, and then we're looking ahead to the Super 8s.
Off the ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.